Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor at the United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. You're always welcome at our Sunday services. Worship at Salem is at 8:30. Sunday school in California is at 9:30 with donuts, coffee, and juice available in the gym, followed by worship at 10:30. We have a staff nursery for your children. It would give us great joy to have you be part of our Sunday service as we worship together as one family serving Christ. We finish our sermon series today that has been looking at the Lord's Prayer found in Matthew 6 and in Luke 11. We'll be in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, where it says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." This is easily the most confusing line of the Lord's Prayer. Why would God lead us into temptation? The simple answer is, He wouldn't. James makes that clear in James 1. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me," for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. The key to this passage is the word used for temptation. It is also the same word used for testing in the Greek, like testing metal or concrete for its strength. In the Lord's Prayer, this line is talking more about guidance and protection for our lives. Let me be wise about my life. Let me rely on your wisdom for my life. And when I fail, deliver me from the evil that surrounds me and the evil one that is trying to destroy my faith. We'll delve into this deeper this morning. We look forward to seeing you this Sunday. May God bless you this week with His power and His protection. Let the light of God's face shine on all of us. Thank you for listening. We are saved by grace, not by works. We stand on faith, not on fear.
Christ is our Savior, and we trust no other.
Let us worship the God of all grace in the spirit of truth and love. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you do. Help us to speak about and to act upon your perfect gifts and your wonderful works every day, in ordinary ways and places. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Our scripture lessons are read by Ellen Martinson. They're followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, Heart to Heart, Forgive Us.
Our first lesson this morning comes to us from Psalms chapter 32, verses 1 through 7. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I declared not my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to thee, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Then thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to thee at a time of distress. In the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. Thou art a hiding place for me. Thou preservest me from trouble. Thou dost encompass me with deliverance.
So we're going to continue the Lord's Prayer this morning. We've been doing, it's called Heart to Heart. We've been looking at the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 11. This week, we start to get a little personal. The first couple weeks, we dealt with our giving God His glory, giving God the praise for who He is, asking for His will to be done in our lives as it is in heaven. We talked last week about acknowledging that God meets our physical needs. And that's a part of our daily living, is just to pause a moment and say, whatever I've got in front of me, yeah, it comes from His hand. It may, you know, I may have gotten a paycheck, I may have worked hard, but God's blessing for my abilities and His just good graciousness to us, I need to give thankfulness to Him. But now we start to get a little bit more personal. Just as we have physical needs, we start to have spiritual needs, and Jesus knows that. Already in chapter 5 of Matthew, the start, the Sermon on the Mount, He goes over different topics that are part of this. He talks about, you know, if you hate someone, that's like murder. He says, you know, if you want to get back at someone, and you've heard that it said, it's eye for an eye. And He says, no, He says, I tell you to love your enemies.
And so now we get to this part right here, and he puts those concepts into prayer form. He says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Some people say trespasses. We'll talk about that in a second. That's in your bulletin as well. If you want to follow along with the outline of the sermons, it's in the back. And you'll notice I leave a lot of scripture in there. I hope you use those as devotionals through the week. And I cover a little bit about their sins and debts and trespasses, and we'll talk about that down the road. But why is forgiveness so important? Why is it part of this prayer? I like how my Holman's Bible Dictionary puts it. It talks about divine forgiveness as well as human forgiveness. He says it's an act of God's grace to forget forever and not hold people of faith accountable for sins they confess. To a lesser degree, the gracious human act of not holding wrongs against a person. Forgiveness has both divine and human dimensions. In the divine relationship, it is, first of all, the gracious act of God by which believers are put into a right relationship to God, transferred from spiritual death to spiritual life through the sacrifice of Jesus. It is also, in this divine dimension, the ongoing gift of God without which our lives as Christians would be out of joint and full of guilt. In terms of human dimension, forgiveness is that act and that attitude toward those who have wronged us which restores relationships and fellowship. Divine forgiveness, human forgiveness. Think about it. Without the possibility of forgiveness, our lives would be filled with guilt, with no way to have it removed, no way to have it taken out of our lives. We see the need for forgiveness since the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and were expelled from the garden. We see the need for forgiveness in Psalm 51 after David had been exposed with his great sin with Bathsheba and her husband. He pleaded with God to restore their relationship, deliver him from his guilt, and create a pure heart in him. This is the potential of forgiveness in our lives with God and with each other. In Matthew 6, it says this, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. Luke 11, it says, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Someone said it this way, forgiveness is both a responsibility on our part and an act of grace on God's part. The Evangelical Catechism put this way, when we pray this part of the Lord's Prayer, they say, we are praying that God will graciously forgive our sin, and we ask that we might have the willingness and strength to forgive others. Just as we need daily food, daily basic needs being met, Jesus knew we need to have the ability that we focus daily on our forgiveness with God and our forgiveness of others around us. This part's so important that it's really the only part that has additional commentary with it. If you look further down in Matthew chapter 6, you see verses 14 and 15. Jesus goes on to say, says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Kind of a conditional relationship there. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Uh-oh. That kind of gets a little personal. Jesus tells a parable, a story. We're going to look at it a little bit deeper. And he ends that parable, the parable of the unmerciful servant, this way in Matthew 18. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or your sister from your heart. Boy, there's that word heart again. Why can't I just say something and go on? Why is he always concerned about how I'm doing inside? Why is he concerned about my motivation? Because we always know that God, that's what God is looking at. He's wanting to know, he wants our hearts, our minds, and our strength. They're not just words we mumble or recite. They've got to come from the heart. But what's so important about this part of the prayer, you know, I've given God his glory, I've given his due, I've told him for his will to be in my life. Someone once said, to err is human, but to forgive is divine. It's natural to respond out to people that hurt us. It's natural to want to get to revenge. But Jesus calls us to a higher plane. Jesus has given us direction on how to handle the most pressing spiritual needs in our lives and our relationship with our Father and our relationship with our fellow man. This part of the prayer has two components, and we're going to handle them in that order. The first component is the forgiveness we receive from God. He starts off in, forgive us our debts. It seems to be the easier, maybe sometimes, of the two parts of this prayer to accept God's forgiveness for our past sins. This part of the prayer gets into our inside, our most deepest part of our lives. If this prayer really means anything to each one of us, This part of the prayer will cause us to pause and stop for a moment. It makes us reflect on our life with God and our life with others. If we rush through this part of the prayer, I don't think we're getting the full grasp, the full measure of what Jesus is trying to get across here. One writer wrote it this way. He says, I think this part of the prayer should have a fill-in-the-blank portion to it. Forgive us our debts, or forgive us whatever I struggled with this morning or this past week. Forgive me for maybe my bad speech or my bitter heart or my unfaithfulness. Maybe it's my lust or my greed or maybe I'm asking God to forgive me for my bad actions and the hurts and maybe the words that I've done to others or others have done to me. Jesus interchangeably uses three Greek words through here. He uses the word for sin in Luke chapter 11. That word's an archery term. It means to miss the mark when you shoot your arrow. And that's what sin is. We miss the mark. Then the one he uses here, Matthew 6, 12, the one debts. The idea that you're owing something to someone. You've taken out a loan or you've got money that you owe someone. We see Jesus use that concept in a lot of the stories he uses to explain the need for forgiveness. And then in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, he uses the word trespass there. The idea that you've stepped over the line. You've made a false step. You've made a blunder. You've deviated from the truth. All of those things give the same idea that forgiveness is needed when we make a false step, when we have a debt, when we miss the mark. He says, just like when you pray for daily food, you need to pray daily for forgiveness. And if forgiveness is so important that he says there in Matthew chapter 5 that when you're in the middle of worship, when you're in the middle even of praying, it says in Mark chapter 11, right in the middle, he says that you need to stop everything and rectify the situation. Look what he says in Matthew 5. He says, therefore, if you offer your gift at the altar and remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift in front of the altar. First go and reconcile to them. Then come, offer your gift. Mark 11, he says, even if you're praying, if you hold something against someone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you as well. He tells us that if we do not ask for forgiveness, that forgiveness has a serious consequences on us both physically and spiritually. We just read it in Psalm 32. He says that when I kept silence, my bones wasted away. That my energy was strength. And my energy was sapped in the summer. And then I acknowledged my sin to you, and you did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions, and you forgave me the guilt of my sin. When we have unforgiveness in our hearts, it harms us both physically and spiritually. And when we say this part of the prayer, it's a part that we pause and we look and say, oh yeah, where did I struggle at this week? Maybe it was that time when I was conversing with my spouse and I said some harsh words to him or her. Maybe it was the way I interacted with my children or people that were close around me. This part of the prayer makes us pause and reflect on our spiritual status at that moment. It's important to get our spiritual straight right before we're able to forgive others. I love this story. I've read it different times, but I read it again in preparation for the sermon. Luke chapter 7, at the very end of Luke chapter 7, Jesus tells a story. He's been invited to a Pharisee's house, Simon the Pharisee. He's invited to it. And he goes in, and I guess the Pharisee is wanting to see who this new teacher was. Jesus comes in, and we have Jesus' name, we have Simon's name, but the heading of my Bible says, a sinful woman came. Didn't even give her name. She didn't even have a name in the story, but she knew Jesus was going to be there. And just think about this. She's from the lowest of society. They didn't give her a name, just said she was a sinful woman. She walks into the most righteous person's house in that community. What audacity to do that. I'm surprised they didn't have bouncers at the front door. But she knew Jesus was there. She was going to throw all caution to the wind. She knew she had a need in her heart, and it was forgiveness. And what'd she do? She didn't even come up to Jesus face to face. She came up from behind him, laid down at his feet, and she washed his feet with the tears that came out of her eyes and her hair. And then she poured perfume on him, on his feet, to take care of all the dirtiness that he had had through the day with his feet. And it says that Simon looked at Jesus and said, you know, if he knew who was wiping his feet, he wouldn't let her touch him. Well, Jesus knew exactly what Simon was thinking. And he looked at Simon and he says, I have something to tell you. And he says, tell me, teacher. He says, two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii, which is a day's wage. Another one owed 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who has the bigger debt forgiven. Jesus said, you judge correctly. Then Jesus turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? And I'm going to use my Russell Cobb, translation. Do you really see this woman? Ever since I came into this house, she has washed my feet. She has washed my feet with her tears, wiped my feet with her hair. She's given me perfume. You didn't give me any water at all. You didn't give me any oil on my head. You didn't even really give me any type of greeting. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. She didn't let anything stop her from getting God's forgiveness. Nothing stopped her, not the embarrassment of people looking at her, not the, walking into a society that she wasn't welcome in. Nothing was going to stop her from getting God's forgiveness. Where are you at today? Is there something stopping you from asking for God's forgiveness? Is it rejection? Is it embarrassment? Maybe it's family, maybe it's friends, not wanting to know what's happening in your life, maybe letting people know that you've all got it all together. What this part of this prayer is telling us, that only to God can we get the forgiveness that is needed in our lives from Him. We see the second component, based on the first one, is the forgiveness we extend to others. It had been good enough He had left the first part there, and forgive us our debts and let us just move on. But no, we've got to forgive other people. Man, that's hard to do. Greg Laurie, a famous preacher out in California, said it this way, when we have a proper understanding of God's forgiveness of us, we will have a proper disposition of forgiveness toward those who do us wrong. When we fully understand what forgiveness means in our lives, we can then truly forgive other people. And then Jesus tells a story to Peter in Matthew chapter 18. Peter comes in and says, hey, how many times do I have to forgive my fellow brother and sister? Is it seven times? Jewish law only required three times. Peter thought he was being really good with seven times. I don't know if they had a wall in their house that they kept track of, saying, hey, Johnny cut me off with his oxen and his wagon today for the third time. Man, one more time, I'm not forgiving him for that at all. I don't know if they had a whole list keeping track of that. Peter says, hey, I'll do it seven times. After that, you're on your own. Jesus says, no, I'm not telling you seven times. I'm telling you 70 times seven times. Unlimited forgiveness. Then he tells him this story about a king and a guy that comes in that owes $10 million. Like, he's going to be thrown into prison, him and his family. But he falls at his knees. He tells him, I'll pay you back. There's no way you can pay him back. But the king says, hey, I'll take mercy on you. Your debt is forgiven. He walks out. He sees a friend that owes him 20 bucks. And because he needs that 20 bucks, he goes and he tries to shake that guy. The guy doesn't have it. He has that guy thrown into prison. Hey, some guys are watching this. They go back to the original king and say, hey, you won't believe the guy that you gave this, forgiveness of this debt to, what he just did. He goes and grabs that guy and brings him back and says, because you could not forgive that debt, I'm not forgiving that. I'm wiping it all out. I'm throwing you back into prison until you can pay the debt back. $10 million debt. If God can forgive a debt that big, or He can forgive a debt that we can never pay back, we have to be willing to forgive just a great a debt if we want to experience the fullness of our relationship with God and all of our spiritual blessings that come with it. So what's a couple lessons from that parable? Number one, there is a debt that we have that is so great that we can never pay it back. And number two, God is the only one that can cancel that debt. And third, we have to forgive others like God has forgiven us. That's why this part of the prayer is so important. You can't just run right through and say, well, I'll just go on and do what I want. I can get by, I can slide by. The second component is tied to the first component. And just like we said last Sunday, Jesus is watching how we share our daily bread. He is watching how we forgive others. If your spiritual life is struggling right now, one reason could be unforgiveness in your heart. And that's what this prayer pauses us and makes us think about. And finally, forgiveness lessons we can apply to our lives. We read it earlier. We see there Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, a church that had a lot of struggles. And he says, hey, anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there is anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us. for we are not unaware of his schemes. He says that one of Satan's tricks is to keep us in the pattern of bitterness and unforgiveness. That's one of his things that he lives on. That's what he tries to destroy lives by. And Paul is saying here, I forgave them in the sight of Christ. They may never know that I've forgiven them. They may not even care that I've forgiven them. But we have to forgive. Buddy Hackett, the comedian, said this, I've had a few arguments with people, but I never carry a grudge. You know why? While you're carrying the grudge, they're out dancing. You know that's the truth. We think we're getting back at them because we're so angry with them. Paul says, I'm forgiving others because I don't want to be tricked into thinking by holding a grudge or thinking evil of someone or letting bitterness take root in my heart that it is any way helping me. That's one of Satan's tricks. And Paul says, let's not be unaware of that. So what are some lessons that we can learn? First, we're going to wrong other people, especially God. That's why this part of the prayer is needed. Second, others are going to wrong us. People are going to hurt us. I wrote down some different blanks. There's going to be more reasons than the blanks. You write the ones that feel applicable to you. And number three, you can't receive forgiveness if you can't extend forgiveness. But how do we forgive? How do we actually practice forgiveness? It's hard. I watched Dateline, you know, these different 48-hour shows, and they had one on I'd seen before, but I watched it anyway. Had a lady on there, lost her daughter or son-in-law and an unborn grandchild in a murder. The person that had murdered him had never, you know, admitted to it. He's in prison. And she says, we recite the Lord's Prayer every Sunday at church. She says, but when I get to this part, debts and debtors and forgive those, she says, I never said it and I'm never going to say it again because I'll never forgive that person. Now, I can't understand that pain. I can't understand that type of loss. But I know if we let any pain take away our ability to forgive like God has forgiven us, there's going to be spiritual consequences in our life. But how do we forgive? Resolve, number one, not to let that offense cause you to sin. Don't let it harbor hatred in your heart, which causes you to sin. Number two, don't harden your heart against the offender. Remember that one day God can forgive that offender just like they've forgiven you. Resolve to forgive every day when you say that part of the prayer. And finally, when you're struggling with that, how do I forgive? Seek help from mature believers. There was a couple in our Sunday school class, Paul and Joanne. Joanne just celebrated her birthday. It's got to be up in her upper 80s now. Of course, she was at church when the picture was taken, celebrating her birthday. They lost a son and a daughter, son-in-law and a daughter, in a car accident. Drunk driver hit them, killed them and all the people with them. They said that was the one time when they felt Satan attacking them most, trying to separate them from their faith, trying to shake their foundation. It took many years to get over it, but eventually they wrote a letter to the family of the gentleman that hit their car, killed their daughter and son-in-law. The driver had been killed as well. They wrote them a note and just said, hey, we hold no hard feelings against you, no bitterness, no anger. You know, they said that and they wrote, they never heard another word back. It wasn't a Hallmark movie where everybody got together and they all sang Kumbaya at the end and everything was the great way it goes. But they were not going to let any hatred and bitterness separate them from their faith in God. But what's some misunderstandings about forgiveness? Number one, when you forgive a person, that does not mean you're immediately healed. It doesn't mean everything's going to be roses, but you've taken that first step. When you forgive a person, it doesn't mean you're going to be buddy-buddy and go out to the knick-knack or to McDonald's and you know, have the best time together. It doesn't mean that at all. It does not mean that you surrender the right to restitution or justice when appropriate. I know when the drunk driver hit our girls, I went to every court hearing, and my middle daughter was there when she read, and I think Amy was there as well when Kelly read her impact statement for him to get the maximum sentence. I think he's out of prison now. It's been 7 or 8 years, but I think he's out. But it doesn't tell you that you give up that right. It doesn't mean that we trust them right off the bat anymore. It doesn't mean that we're avoiding pain. It means we're opening the door to healing. And finally, the journey that we take that journey at the pace we are able to handle. The deeper the hurt, the longer the journey. And it's a daily prayer, and that's how come I think Jesus said, pray this daily. We have the greatest example of forgiving one of our debtors when Jesus was on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you have this verse in your bulletin from 1 Peter, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you example that you should follow in his steps. E.F. Scott said it this way, At the root of all of our social problems lies the one sad fact that men are unforgiving. Think what could be accomplished today in your life and our world today if forgiveness took priority in relationships. The hurt and the destruction that could be avoided and the lives that could be healed. Just look at our political landscape. Wonder if forgiveness ruled instead of power and revenge. I don't care if you're red, blue, or purple politically. Without forgiveness for one another, all sides are doomed to destruction. Including in this part in our daily prayer lives, prepares our hearts for the forgiveness that we need and for the forgiveness we need for others. When farmers get ready to plant, they just don't go out the first day and start planting. They got to get the field ready. They got to spread chemicals. They got to get their equipment ready to get ready to plant that first seed. This part of the prayer is getting the soul of our hearts ready for God's forgiveness and also ready to apply His forgiveness to those hurts, that bitterness we carried with all these years. So the next time you pray this part of the prayer, insert your personal sin struggles or your debts that you struggle with and you need forgiveness for. And then personally forgive someone that has hurt you or you have a hateful thought towards. Something you've carried with you for many years, or maybe someone that caught you at the wrong time at work or at home. Maybe you need to forgive your spouse or another family member or a close friend or even someone here at church. One final lesson about forgiveness in this section of the Lord's Prayer is to receive this forgiveness, you have to ask for it. The Bible gives one example after another how to do it. The thief on the cross, the woman at Jesus' feet, they all took advantage of that one chance to restore the relationship with their Heavenly Father. Don't wait another day. Don't worry about what anyone thinks. Come to the Father through the Son. The Lord's Prayer are not just words we kind of run through and move on. Jesus gave us this template and these guidelines that if we pray from the heart, this part of the prayer can heal us spiritually with our Heavenly Father and with those around us. Our hymn this morning is hymn number 415. Search me, O God. Search my heart today. And that's what this prayer is doing. Let's stand and sing hymn number 415. Christians, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into hell. Third day He arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the one holy universal Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
It's been good to be with everyone today, sing and fellowship and worship. And we know as we study the words of Jesus that He never made it easy for us. And forgiveness is not easy, but it's necessary. Let's pray. Father, it's been good to be in Your house. It's been good to be with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And Father, help us as we pray, as we look at the kind of the template that You set through here, this model prayer that You give us, that part of it is to look inside at ourselves, to recognize those, examine ourselves, those things that we're struggling with, those things where we've fallen short, offer them before You, and You say when we approach Your throne of grace, You are faithful, and You'll forgive us. And help us, Father, then extend that mercy and grace that we received to those around us. It may take a broken heart, it may take a willingness to put our pride below us, Father, but I pray, Father, the spiritual blessings that we receive back from it, Father, will have eternal impact. Be with each one here today. Help them draw strength from Your word and from each other. We ask this all in Your name. Amen.